Amen. Well, it's good to see everybody out this morning. I feel like everybody's already set their clocks forward. I don't know what's going on, but it's good to see everybody this morning, and I'm thankful for it, and appreciate to see some familiar faces and some unfamiliar faces. I'm thankful for all of them. And we appreciate you being here, and we've been over in the book of 1 John, and we'll continue there, Lord willing, this morning. I thought I might get to do a lesson outside of 1 John today on old horrible Haman over in the book of Esther, but the Lord wouldn't allow it. But I thought I was going to get to, and I was real happy about it, but I didn't get to. So, and that's okay. That'll be for another time, maybe. But anyway, here in the book of 1 John, we've been looking at several things. We're down in chapter 2, and we'll go ahead and read. We'll go ahead and just read there in verse 1 down through verse 6. The Bible says, "My little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." There's a lot of people that forget that. But he is enough for everybody. "And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." Yep. And so we have some real, real serious scriptures right here, and we've already looked at verse 1 down through verse 3, and what we saw was the purpose in the writing that we sin not, and the provision that was made, which was that advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And in verse 2, we saw that he is our propitiation, how that he appeased God's wrath in our place, how we deserve that wrath, but he took it. And then last time, we looked at down in verse number 3, the proof that we find of our salvation, knowing that we know him. How important that is, Jonah, to know that we know him.
Yep.
And so we've got to be very careful in this life. And let's just get into it right here. Verse number 4. The Bible says, "He that saith, I know him." So in verse number 4, the first thing I find is that this person is making a claim.
Yep.
They've got this claim. It says, "He that saith, I know him." Now, we'll just do it. How many of you would raise your hands this morning and say, make that same claim, "I know him"?
Oh, yes.
I know him.
Thank God.
90% more say that, "I know him, Brother Creston." So there's two sides of this. So you can say you know him and you can really know him, or you can say you know him and not know him.
Right.
But the thing is, I can't tell.
Right.
Nope. I don't know. Kevin, as much as I love you and I believe that you know him, I can't tell. The only person that I know that has a relationship with the Lord is myself. I know what my relationship with the Lord is.
Yes, sir.
Creston, I love you. I don't know what your relationship with the Lord is. I believe you're a good man. I believe you're a godly man. But you know how I know those things, or how I believe those things? It's because of what I see in their lives.
That's right.
But here what we have is a claim, and what we prove by just lifting our hands right there is 90, 95, 98, 99% of people you ask, guess what they'll claim?
"Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, I know him." You go out visiting, right, Doug? We go out and knock on doors, and you find out. We say this all the time. You find out how many people say, "Oh, I know him. I know him. I saved 20 years ago, 30 years ago at so-and-so church, under so-and-so preacher. I remember a lightning bolt." Hey, we had one, a lightning bolt struck. And oh, I know him. We had one that got assurance. Me and Kevin was at church one night. A lady got assurance by hearing "Love Lifted Me." That was her assurance of salvation.
Terrible.
And that is terrible.
Yep.
And if your profession of faith is based on any of that nonsense, change your profession.
Yep.
So you got to be very careful about what you profess. And I want to be careful. I'm not here to harm anybody this morning. And I'm not here to confuse anybody.
Right.
John wrote, if you read over there in chapter 5, he wrote these things that ye know, that you have eternal life. So the purpose of this lesson, these lessons, is not to make you question, but it's to establish between you and the Lord that everything is right. Or, if it don't, to establish that it's not.
Right.
It's to clarify.
Yep.
It's not to muddy the waters. It's to clean them up.
Yes, sir.
And let you be able to see. But you see here, the first thing right out of the gate, it says, he that saith. Anybody can say. Anybody can say. Jesse, I've heard, I guess, every kind of profession that you can imagine when you ask somebody, do you know the Lord? And while I say that, when we go visit, and I make it a point to ask them, where do you stand with the Lord?
Yes, sir.
Do you know him? You know, it's easy to go and just say, hey, come out to church with us. But it's really good to just put it down where the rubber meets the road and say, do you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? But they have a claim. But look what's following that. He says, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments. So now we have a claim, but then what we find is a contradiction. You say that you know him, Brother Creston, but when their life is portrayed, they do not reverence the commandments of the Lord. And essentially, to put that in our terms today, you don't esteem this book. That's as simple as I can put that. If you say you are saved and do not esteem this book, that's it. You understand this is what contains the commandments that you and I have to live our lives by. This is as simple as I know to put it. If you care nothing about this, that's what John's saying. He's saying if you say that you know him, but in your life you can live day in, day out, and take no regard to what his word says. Okay? That's what he said. That's the contradiction. And I want to refresh your memory to a few weeks ago. That word keep. He says, he that saith, I know him and keepeth not. So we need to know what that word keep means, because that's the key to understanding what he's saying. That word keep means to guard or protect, to hold fast, to hold and not lose or part with. To keep anything in your memory or in your heart, to preserve it, to retain it, to tend and care for it, to practice it, to perform it, to obey it, to observe it in your practice, not to neglect it or violate it, and to use it habitually. That's what that word keep means. In other words, it's real important. And I can say from personal experience, from the moment I got saved, that's when I started really caring about what God thought of my life. Never thought much about it before. But there was a moment in time that there was a difference that God made. And from that point forward, you know what, Jesse? I started caring.
Yes, sir.
And when I got caught, even though when I wasn't caught with everybody else, I was caught between me and the Lord,
right.
I cared.
Yes.
And did I fix everything immediately? No, I'm not saying that.
Right.
But it started affecting me.
Yes, sir.
And it's still affecting me today.
Yes.
And there's things today that I say I can't do, or we don't do. I can't do that any longer. I don't have any desire to do that any longer because I'm afraid it's going to offend this.
Yes. Oh, yes. Right.
Which is a person.
Yes,
the Lord Jesus Christ. If you heard Brother Matt the other night, you heard all about that. Heard about the Word. But I don't want to offend him, Brother Creston. But somebody that says they know him and don't care whether they offend him, the Bible makes it clear. So they've made a claim, but there's a contradiction. But then look at thirdly at what he says here. In verse number 4, it puts him in a class. It classifies him. It said he's a liar.
That's right, brother.
That's not me saying that. That's the Word of God saying that. And so we've got all these people today that live their lives day in, day out. They think I can come to church Sunday and Sunday morning from 11 to 12, I'm God's. I'm coming. I'm going to come in and I'm going to give myself to God. And that's what they think, Dustin, is the reasonable service. They feel like they've done God a service by coming and sitting through an hour, hour and a half of meeting. But yet, what happens Sunday night? What happens Monday?
Yes.
What happens Friday night?
Friday.
Saturday night. Folks, that's the problem with our society today, with our Christianity, is we're nominal Christians. In other words, by name only. I'm not pointing this directly at anybody here. You understand, I'm saying generally as what we see as church today. Cultural Christianity. That'd be a good term. Is we've got a whole lot of people that claim it, but their life contradicts it. And I don't really care what they say. I believe what this book says.
Yeah.
And the book classifies them as what? A liar. So you can't ever go out from this place and say that God doesn't care how you live.
Right.
God makes it real plain in His Word right here. There's a dividing line between a true child of God, somebody that has a relationship. That word know, we dealt with that before. It's a term of endearment, a close relation. It was the term used by Adam, or God, when He said that Adam knew his wife. Folks, it's that intimate relationship. That's what He's talking about. Do you know Him? It's either you do or you don't.
Right.
And I can't tell you whether you do or you don't. But the Bible helps us. You understand God is not the author of confusion.
Hey.
He never. If there's anybody here today that's confused about their salvation, you know who did not author that?
That's right. God does
not author that confusion.
Yep.
So your confusion comes from Satan. He's a liar and he's the father of all lies. So if you're confused today, it's not because of God. What God's trying to do is clarify it, Brother Tanner. God wants to make you understand real clearly that you are a sinner or you are a saint. One of the two. He don't care about you being on that middle of the fence wondering which one you are. God wants you to know who you are. See the problem, if Satan can keep you in that dividing line where that one day you feel like you're in and one day you feel like you're out, you see, there's two different types of people that can be there. There can be a sinner that thinks they're saved and's not, or there can be a saint that's just not really sure. Maybe things aren't just right.
Yep.
And they can be on that dividing line.
Yep.
But either way, the devil's got them. You see, the sinner that's in that place, he's got them deceived. And they just think they're okay.
Yes, sir.
And they just go on about their business being deceived. And you know what happens? They end up in hell. If God doesn't clarify that for them. But now God's trying to clarify that for them. Some people don't want to open their eyes.
Right.
So you've got that one. But Dustin, you've also got the saints that maybe they aren't esteeming this as highly as they should. What I mean by that, they care about wanting to do right, but Nathaniel, they've not took that plunge to where they're picking it up on a daily basis and trying to put it in their own heart.
Go ahead, bro.
Maybe they're depending on only Brother Kevin or Brother Josh or somebody else to put that in their heart. And so that's not enough.
Right.
You can't live your life assured that everything's right between you and the Lord if you're not spending any time with Him.
Go ahead.
And so if a saint gets into that place where they're unsure, Brother Creston, they're of no effect for the cause of Christ. And that's where the devil wants them. See, if you're saved and you're kind of constantly battling, well, am I right? Am I not right? Am I right? Am I not right? That's the perfect place for the devil. Because you won't witness to nobody because you got no confidence. How many of you have been in that place where you're unsure of what's right, but you're not willing to say? You're not willing to go talk to somebody about it. You're not willing to go share the gospel. Why are you not willing to share the gospel? Because you're not assured yourself. You're of no effect in this life as a Christian without the assurance of knowing you're right with Him. But it's real natural, Nathaniel, if you're right with the Lord, it's real easy to go up to somebody and say, let me tell you about somebody that I know. And to say, let me tell you what He did for me. But if He's never done anything like that for you, then you don't have that confidence. You can't have that. And so you find yourself in a place of riding the fence. And this is okay. This don't bother me. I'd rather people get it right, wouldn't you? And so if you need to come pray, you come pray. But, you know, the question today is where do you stand with the Lord? And the Bible makes it clear. You're either one of two places. You're either right with Him or you're not. There's no in between. And so what we find here is that this person makes a claim, but then there's a contradiction in their life. And the Bible classifies them as a liar. And plain talk is just easily understood. And what John's saying is that by their life, there's just too much contradiction for their claim to be true. And there's some that I can look at and I can see their life and pretty well know where they stand with God. We know them by, Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. But there's some, Jesse, that come in here and they're faithful to the house of God. And maybe they get up in the choir and they sing. And they put on a good picture, a good front. But then between there, there's no change. Or we never see a move of them in the house of God. And now everybody don't move the same way. Everybody don't shout, Nathaniel. Not everybody's as happy as you are all the time. And I'm thankful for Nathaniel. And you know what? And that's okay. And when Nathaniel's quiet, you know what I know about him? Something's wrong. And I'm happy about it. I'm happy to know my brother, and I'm happy. He encourages me. Sometimes I wish I could be that way. But my personality don't allow me to be that way. And that's just okay. Kristen, I'm not like you. And you ain't like me. And praise the Lord for that. Because the world couldn't handle two of me or two of Kristen. And that's just the truth. God didn't make us the same. Why is that? He doesn't want us to be the same. We're all different. We respond different. That's why some people, when they testify, they say five words. Some people, when they testify, they get up there and they start mumbling. And it's bop, bop, bop. They can't say. Right? We're just different. God don't really care about the words as much as He cares about what's in here. And but some people are never moved. Nothing ever makes a difference in them. And it makes you wonder about where they're classified as scripturally. But the problem is they have a claim, and then we see the contradiction in the classification. But look lastly what the last phrase in this verse says. It says, and the truth is not in them. You know what we find lastly in that? A great calamity. What happens is the lack of truth on the inside is it leads to their ultimate demise, their destruction. If you don't ever get the truth down on the inside, all that'll do is send a person to hell. And what a sad situation. And I've got several scriptures we'll look at here. And Kevin made mention of one of these just a couple week or two ago, Matthew 7. I want you to turn with me and we'll read these. But I'm afraid this is why we don't see more happen in the church today. Is because a lot of people have this problem. This problem right here. This problem out of verse 4. John chapter 2, verse 4. They've got a claim, and that's about all. That's where it ends. But Matthew chapter 7, verse number 15. The Bible says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I want you to understand, this is not talking about a true believer. It makes it clear. It calls them out as false prophets. What he's saying is they are bearing evil fruit, and because of that, they will be cut down and they're going to be cast into the fire. That's what this context is. So make sure everybody understands that. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Now that's talking about false prophets, right? But that leads us into the next part. Then he goes on, and I think this can apply to lots of people. It says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Everybody catch that? Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And them will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So what we have here is some people that are apparently, they've made it all through life. You understand the context of this. There's a day they are literally standing before God. And when their time comes to stand before God, they start saying, just like you said the other night, have we not done this? Have I not done this? I've done this.
Yes.
They've done all these things. They've prophesied. But what does the Lord say to them? I never knew you. What it's telling us is they played the part perfectly. And they played it so well, they deceived their own selves.
That's right.
The Bible warns us, and we dealt with that a few months ago, about being able to deceive our own selves. These people deceived their own selves. They played the part for so long, they started believing it for themselves that everything was okay. And they thought, I've done enough, Kristen. When I stand before the Lord, I've done so much that He's going to let me in. That ain't how it works.
Nope.
God is not interested in what you've done. See, that's the whole problem. A lot of people are trying to cover up what they really are by what they do.
Yes.
Problem is, you can't do enough. You can't feed the hungry enough. You can't help the poor enough. You can't pay enough people's electric bills. You can't pick them up off the side of the road. It don't matter what you do. It's not enough.
Right.
When is enough?
Go ahead.
It never will be. There's only one that did enough.
Amen.
And he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. That's the only one. He said, hear ye him.
Yes. Right.
And he said, come unto me.
Yep.
He's the only one.
Amen.
Don't go by yourself. Go by him.
Amen.
He's the only way. That's the way people get saved. They finally realize that I can do nothing for myself. And that's when you're in a good place to get born again. You get to the point where you say, it don't matter how good I am, what all I do, Lord, it don't matter what I say, it don't matter how I act, no matter how I do it, I can't get to you. But I recognize you made a way through the door that I can enter in. And Jesus said, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He said, of them that come to him, he would in no wise cast out. He said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. He said, he was the way, the truth, and the life. If you want to be right with the Lord, it's pretty simple. You go through the door. The door is the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, he's the shepherd. He's the good shepherd, the great shepherd. He's the door. Folks, I mean, he's everything. Everything you need to get in. He'll lead you to it. He'll be the door for you. He'll be the mediator between you and God. He intercedes. He's the propitiation, your substitute. I mean, just go down the list. He's everything.
Thank God.
It pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell.
Yep.
In Him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Thank God.
If you want God, you know how you get it. You get it through Jesus. He's the only way. You can't live good enough. You can't be good enough. You can't claim it enough.
Hey.
Folks, you get in by the door.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful it is that way. Because you know what? If it was by our works, we'd never know. We'd be living our life constantly questioning, Lord, is it enough?
Yeah.
Did I do it
enough?
Were my motives just right? Those are the questions I have today still about everything that I do.
Right.
Lord, I mean, when I stand up here, I think, Lord, are my motives right?
Yep.
I don't even want to stand. Lord, I want them to see you. I don't even want to be seen. Let them see you. That's the desire. And I have to keep it in check, Kevin.
Yes, sir, me too.
Because it's real easy to get in a big way. And I get happy up here sometimes. And I have to guard myself and be real careful. You don't want to say anything out of the way. I don't want to let flesh get in the way. But I want His truth to ring true.
Yeah.
And to ring out and everybody to hear what He has to say. So anyway, not everybody that says, Lord, Lord's going to enter in. They've deceived themselves all the way to the judgment. But I think verse 24 down through 27 goes along with this. He says, therefore, whosoever heareth, you notice this, heareth these sayings of mine and what? And doeth them. You can hear the gospel all your life, but if you never do it, if you never obey the gospel, if you never trust the Lord Jesus Christ, it's of no effect. You have to hear it and you got to do it. I'm not talking about actions here. We're talking about believing what He said, taking Him at His word. He says, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And we know who that rock is. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. You want to be founded upon a rock? You want to have a sure foundation? You know what you do? You take God at His word. You don't be wishy-washy about your feelings. You forget what everybody else says. You forget your feelings. And you just trust God.
Yeah.
You say, God, what do you say about it?
Yep.
And that'll be a good day in your life. When you get to a point where you quit caring about the dumb things that people try to tell you, of ways that they know they're saved. Or ways they know that they're in the will of God.
Lord.
Just scratch all that and say, Lord, I don't care what everybody else says about their experiences, about what they feel. Lord, I want to know what You say.
Yeah.
And when you get to a point where you don't care about what everybody else says, but you care about what He says,
right,
you can have all the assurance in the world. Because what you'll care about is getting it right between you and the Lord. And what a day in our lives when we get to that point and we say, Lord, I don't care how I feel. Don't care what everybody else says. I care what You say.
Yes, sir.
And if You said it, I'm just going to believe You. And when I stand in judgment one day, I'm going to say, Lord, You said. I'm not going to say I said. I'm going to say You said and You said and You said. And in fact, I won't have to say nothing because Christ already said it for me.
Thank God.
But in my heart, I'll be saying, Lord, You said it. And I believed it. And that's how we get in. If you want to get right with the Lord, you just take Him at His word. That's what you've got to do. But look at the latter part here in this Matthew 27, verse 26. There's only one word difference in a phrase here. He says, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, it starts the same, heareth these sayings of mine. You notice both of these groups are in the same category. They hear the sayings of mine.
Oh yeah.
But look at the next phrase. And doeth them not. One word difference there between the people that found it on a rock and the people that's found it on the sand. Doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came. You notice the rain came, the floods came, the wind still blew and beat upon the house, but you notice the difference and it fell. And great was the fall of it. you want to stand in this life and in the life to come, you know how you do that? You make sure that you're founded on the rock. And that rock is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to trust in yourself, in your feelings, in everybody else's testimonies, you want to trust in your church membership, your baptism, you know what you're building yourself on? Sand. It won't be good enough. And there'll be a day, the rain's going to come, the wind's going to blow, and you know what you're going to be exposed of? Of what you were really founded on. And it may never be in this life. You may hide it from today until eternity. You may fool your church. You might be good enough to fool your family. You can easily fool your pastor.
Sure.
You can fool your Sunday school teacher. But it don't matter who you fool in this life. Every person will stand before God and give an account. Now, we might be at different judgments, but we're still standing before Him. And folks, once you get to the end of the book of Revelation over there, what, chapter 20, and you're standing at that judgment, you've done went too far. You've waited too long, just like these people in Matthew 27. You're standing before Him at that time, trying to tell Him that you've done all this stuff. It don't even matter. Too late. I never knew. In other words, when He said never, that means there was never a time, never one time, Brother Adam, that they had a relationship to know. He couldn't say, I never knew you, if there was ever a time He did know them. A lot of people mix that up and think that you can be saved and then you get lost and then He'll say, He never knew. No. That's not what He says. I never knew you. That's not what Scripture teaches. He says, I never knew you. Never. You know what never means?
I guarantee it.
Everybody means never. Somebody says, are you ever going to do this? And I say, never. It's not happening. That's what the Lord will look at him and say, didn't happen. You might have thought it happened, but it wasn't founded on this. So what you thought, what you felt, didn't matter. Just because they sung Love Lifted Me. That's not in the book. Not in here. Jeremiah 2:13, for my people have committed two evils.
Yes.
They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out broken cisterns. You can hew you out all the cisterns you want, but if it ain't right, if it's broken, the Bible says they're broken cisterns that cannot hold water. I'm afraid we got a lot of claims. A lot of claims, but they're broken cisterns that will not hold water.
Yep.
Because they've forsaken the fountain of living water. They're not founded in this book at all. And if our claims, if our assurance is not completely rooted and grounded in this book, then you have no assurance. None. And the older I get, the more convinced I am of this. Because what I see over and over, Kevin, I see people that have all these claims. And I've seen them have experiences in churches. And I think, man, they're spiritual. But then a week later, 2 weeks later, a year later, where are they at?
Right.
What happened to them?
Yeah. Go ahead.
They didn't hold water.
Right.
Now, you saying that you'll never mess up? No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not. The Bible still says if a brother be overtaken in fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourselves lest you also be tempted. All those things are still true.
Amen.
We can all be overtaken. But the general direction, the general desire of the heart of the believer is to be right with the Lord. I just can't help but see that in the Scripture. And I believe the book says if you're His, that He will chasten you. The Bible says that those that He loves, He chastens. If you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. That means a fatherless child. In other words, I never knew you. That's what that means. So I got two more scriptures, and I'll read them and be done, just so we can finish this little portion right here, this verse. Just to clarify, 1 Corinthians 6:9-11, we read this all the time. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?
Yeah,
be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit. You notice that word shall? That's as strong as it gets.
Yeah.
They shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Spirit of our God. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, the Bible says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. That word means lustfulness, indulgence, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Such like. You just figure out the word that's like those, put it in there, such like. Of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You see, God makes a difference. We're new creatures in Christ. Can some of this stuff appear in the life of a believer? Yes. Do they continue in that? No, they can't. If you try to continue it as a child of God, God will take you out of this place. He will. You're done. He will not allow it. He will chasten those He loves, the Bible's plain about. So you find somebody that's been down this road for years and years and years and years and years and never cares about getting it right. Folks, the Bible's plain about what they are. We can try to say, well, old Susie got saved 20 years ago. They just been out of the will of the Lord for 20 years, 30 years. Folks, I mean, you can believe that if you want to. I don't believe it. I just believe the Bible. I believe He says what He means. But, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. There's a clear difference between a child of God and a child of the devil. And amen. So, folks, I believe with all my heart, God wants to clarify. And He wouldn't put these things in my heart. And He wouldn't write them in this book. Even more so, no matter what He does in my heart, He put them right here in this book.
Yeah.
And He cares that you know. And that I know. And that my kids know. And your kids know. Where they stand with God.
Yeah.
Folks, I want everybody here to know that they're right with the Lord. Can you imagine what it would be like if we come in here on a Sunday and everybody was completely convinced and assured that everything was right with them in the Lord? Can you imagine what service would be like, Kevin? Because now we can say, you know, we can come in and act like we've had a bad week and all these things. But the truth is, what happens is there's a lot of people that come in here, whether sinners or saints, they can't worship because they don't know where they stand with God. Even if you know you're saved, you still don't know exactly where you stand because there's things in your life that's messed up. And when you come in that way, you know what you can't do? You can't worship right. You just can't. It don't work. But you get everything out of the way. You get all your doubts, you get all your feelings, all your concerns about everything else in the world out of the way, and make sure everything's right between you and the Lord when you walk in these doors. You know what can happen? We can worship. And God will do things. And we'll see sinners saved, and we'll see saints encouraged and helped and strengthened. And Kevin will be able to preach real easy. It'll help him. And it'll help me, and it'll help you. So I appreciate everybody's good attention. I hope something was said that was a help to somebody. And we'll have prayer for everybody that wants to pray back through there in the hallway to the fellowship hall. So thank y'all.